Hello, everyone. Welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm your host, Duststorm.
And I'm your other host, Biowolf.
And we are back. And this time with our final Halo 5 beta breakdown podcast. We have reached the end. We have one more thing to talk about. And we're going to be moving on to some other stuff, which a lot of people have been asking for. But it's been good to analyze Halo 5 and get our thoughts out there. I still got to freaking write mine. But as per normal for the rest of the Breakdown podcast, we have Hossost and Godzilla Todd back on the show. Hello, guys.
Hello.
Hello.
You guys ready to get this done?
Definitely.
Good.
I want to go play it again, but yeah.
I know, right? Mm. I got to play one game of Breakout at PAX.
Before they kicked you off?
No. I actually was there helping them out for a little bit. And I'll just say this. It's hard having played the beta and knowing how to play Halo to come watch people absolutely suck and do completely wrong things when it comes to strategy in that game.
I mean, you got to look at it like this, too. They're pretty sure the people that were there playing it had no idea. Like, they've probably never played Halo at some point.
Some of them, I would agree. But on Trench, they had a whole team running down the right side in the hallways, where if someone was smart enough and got a nade there, three of them would be dead instantly. And I'm like, you don't do that.
Well, there should be there some like explaining a little bit. Be like, you know, this is how the game works. This is how it's supposed to be played. You're not, you know, kind of like showing them how it's done. I mean, there was
someone at the beginning, like when you got to the line, that was explaining what the mode was about, what you're trying to do. I mean, they're not really explaining tactics, but there was someone there explaining what the game mode was about, what was different about it, all that kind of stuff. So it's hard to watch and not be like, you guys, what the hell are you doing? Kind of thing.
It just proves that you're a better player and you'll just destroy him when Halo 5 comes out. More food, I guess you can say. More prayer, however you say it.
Oh, gosh.
Muncha, muncha.
But we have one thing I think we're going to talk about tonight, and that's going to be Forge in Halo 5, because we got to see two Forge maps in Halo 5 Guardians. We wanted to get someone on who knows Forge to talk about it, but we just couldn't get it lined up right. So we're going to just kind of go ahead and wrap it up, and there'll be more shows in the future where we can catch up on that kind of stuff. So first thoughts about the Forge match for me is very basic texturing, very smooth, very play box style. It seemed like a lot of the Forge stuff was kind of like beta build. We're just nailing down the shapes and nailing down the geometry. Because I don't remember many of the pieces really having much texture to them.
No, they're very plain. More UNSC, if anything. Like, but even then, it still didn't have any sort of.
It seemed more just like they were just polygons, or not polygon shapes. That was it.
Yeah.
The map layouts, I'll give them credit for Orion? Yeah, Orion I liked. Pegasus, not quite so much.
See, it's interesting that you say that, because I played Pegasus thinking I wanted Orion. I voted for Orion. I wanted Orion to go in there. And I played the crap out of Pegasus, and I felt after I played it and then playing Orion, I felt that Pegasus was the better of the two. Especially, like, just the sight lines alone. Like, I like that hallway, the two hallways that kind of go into where the light rifle was, towards the back. I don't know any of the callouts or anything like that. But, like, where if you have a sniper, you're perfect. You're golden. Like, especially when they come out there, because you have sight lines on all three ways. You have your right, your left, and you have the straight down the middle, which is nice. But the map was very weird how it was laid out.
Which one?
A Pegasus.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons why I think I didn't quite like it as much, because as far as the gameplay went, it was actually a pretty good map, and that's where I went on my freaking sniping spree, I think.
Oh, you and me both.
Yeah. So from a from a gameplay of movement perspective, I think Pegasus had a lot more to offer there, but I just liked the layout of Orion and some of the ways it flows. It gave a lot of variety of interaction. So you had the long distance battles from base to base. You had the few close-ups with the one ramp that went up to red base, and then kind of the close quarters and blue base in the middle too, where the sword was. Now, screw that sniper pitch out in the unforged area, but yeah. Overall, I thought Orion was just, and maybe it was just because that was most of the time when I played it, I had the most fun on it because I was doing better then. I mean, that could be a contributing factor of it as well.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if you're going to have a different outlook on things, especially when you have a better time, A, and B, having to do doing well on it. Like, Orion I did extremely well on, especially towards the end when I got a hold of that sniper rifle and that sword. Like, the sword I wasn't using too much, but every now and then I did get a couple kills. But, like, that sniper for that map, it seemed perfect. Like, just the sight lines alone were just absolutely perfect. But I didn't like the map the way it was set up. I just felt it was too floaty. Now that's not even a word for it. Like it felt weird. Like it was just off-putting.
I wasn't the biggest fan of the map, but I didn't feel like it was floaty.
I'm not sure.
Can you elaborate on floaty?
Yeah, I'm a little confused on the floaty analogy.
Like, the thing I'm saying that for is because, like, when I sit there and, like, went across, like, on the other side of the map, like, I fell off several times. That's just me being an idiot, but, like, I don't know. Like, there was something, I don't know. It was really weird. Like, I just didn't...
Like, certain parts of the map, or...?
Yeah, like, it just felt like there was too many gaps in the one side to me, honestly. Like, and then when the terrain met the actual, like, structure of the map, I just felt it was off. Like, I didn't like it at all. Like I said, floaty's probably not the greatest word I was putting on it. I was just thinking of that one particular time. But it was, like, there was a lot of things I just didn't care for. Like, I don't know. I didn't like the fact there was three power weapons on the map either.
So I thought made for a lot more interesting gameplay.
Yeah.
I may not have been a fan of where they were put, but...
That could be it. Because they had the Hydra, the Energy Sword, and the Sniper.
I felt the Energy Sword was perfectly placed. I will say that. Especially, like, when the one... You have to make that push to get to it.
Sniper was awful.
Yeah, the Sniper was just way too off. And the Hydra...
I never even found the Hydra. Is that bad?
It was just in the weirdest spot. Like, they didn't make it known that it was, like, there. It was, like, kind of just, like, tucked in a corner.
How did Motnik know it was there? You have a waypoint to every single power weapon on the map.
I don't know. I just... Even if they didn't have that, though, you wouldn't really... I wouldn't have found it. I didn't really care. I didn't go over there. I was more really focused in the middle and towards, like, the end.
Yeah, it was always Sniper and then on the left side of the map.
Place I went was Hydra.
Yeah.
Maybe I just didn't concern myself with Hydra. Maybe I did notice it, and I just didn't concern myself with it because, well, now I know I didn't use it correctly. But I don't know. I hated the sniper placement on that little rock thing.
Oh, yeah.
It was just
seemed to get stuck on the terrain. I was like, why would you even put this here?
Because for all the sniper campers out there.
Nah.
I don't know.
It was a freaking interesting place to camp, and every now and then I would... Once I saw that, I'm like calling out, someone get the sniping camper. Just someone get him.
Yeah. It was interesting. The flow of the map was very interesting, too. I mean, I didn't feel like there was a certain pattern people went. They were kind of all over the place, in my opinion. Like,
I had a hard time with the bridges because they have the edges on it. So you're kind of like constrained into this narrow kind of walkway. I don't know. I just wasn't. That's where I kind of had a problem. It just felt like it was a ton of bridges to be in an advantaged spot. You had restricted movement, and I hate that feeling. I really do.
Yeah.
Like, I'm okay with narrow walkways at choke points or, like, power weapon points, so if you are going to take a risk and get it, yeah, you should be able to be picked off pretty easily or restricted in where you can go with it so you can easily be picked off or rescued by your team, but I just felt like all over the top half of that map, you were just restricted, and it really bothered me.
Yeah.
I guess I can kind of agree with that, because there were a lot of pathways that you would want to try to take, but you just couldn't on top, and I guess the pathways were limited. But I think that's just kind of part of, I mean, you see that in other Halo maps too, where you have limited top routes, but I don't know. I guess I can kind of see where you're getting at there. But as far as like just the different interactions of gameplay, I thought Orion just provided a little bit better sandbox for it. And it's more horizontal than vertical. I think Pegasus is a little more vertical.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That may be another reason why as well for me.
Both of the maps are very bizarre. Like I've never really seen maps like Forge like that. Like they're really unique, especially just for Team Slayer, the way they were set up.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to be interesting to see what people do make with this, especially coming from 343 Industries, to see what else they come out for, if they do have like a Forge playlist or anything like that. Because they, I had a blast on them, you know, and I don't usually when it comes to Forge maps and like matchmaking, I try to stray away from it. Like, I don't, no offense to anybody that's made them. I don't personally care for them, but I actually had a blast playing with these. So it's going to be interesting to see what people come up with.
I'm honestly curious if these are even going to make it to the full game.
I don't know.
If not, someone will probably recreate them.
Oh, yeah, easily.
But I like, you know, even though it's, you know, an early beta build of the Forge system, I like how each of the maps had a unique look and feel.
Yeah.
I mean, other than the color palette, which, you know, of course, you know, that goes to the texture of the blocks, the maps really did feel different. You know, aesthetically, the way they played, and that's looking real promising for the Forge community. Because, you know, one of the problems we've had in Forge is the lack of diversity in the maps themselves. They all kind of tend to blur together after some time. And I, you know, Reach had to be the worst at that. You know, it didn't matter what map you played, they all just kind of looked the same.
Yeah.
Well, I do like how they have the different time of day. And I'm hoping that leads also to weather, Forge weather, possibly, mm-hmm. maybe, please. Mm-hmm. Time of day. Mm-hmm. Yes. Nighttime as well.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, please. Yeah. Yes, please. Yes, please. More, please.
That was more control over Forge. Yeah, I mean, yeah. Like that was something that people were freaking out about, was saying like it's different times of day. Even though I was blind on Orion at some points, like just looking through. but it's cool to see that we have different times of day. And I after seeing that, I wouldn't have a doubt in my mind that we would get night maps finally. I know that's something a lot of Forge has been saying that they want to see, especially for just different things, for, you know, just. Oh, what is it? Like different game modes would have like different effects with like Juicy and Nova and Pen and Ink and all that stuff. It'd be interesting to see if we can actually what we'll actually get with nighttime maps.
Well, so if anyone has played Halo Custom Edition, there's been some maps that take place at nighttime. They've changed the skybox to where it is at night, and there's some really cool things that at least in Halo CE people have done, where it is kind of low lighting out in open areas. A good example would be, just think of Blood Gulch at night. You have the lights of the mm-hmm. bases that would give some lighting around the base for that. And then you have, you're kind of out in the middle of nowhere, and that's when it's a little more dark and you don't have that stuff. But going into Halo, you can add something like fluorescent or natural plants like we see in, or lights like in, what is it, 343 Guilty Spark on in the Halo campaign, and we have the lights now on the armor, so that could be stand out there as well. And I don't think mm-hmm. it would be very practical from a matchmaking perspective, but for things just like customs or machinima, that would be freaking cool.
Oh, absolutely. And I know Receptor would have a heyday with it, with his screenshots that he does too. So just a lot of screenshot things out there, especially with the new screenshot thing that Xbox has came out with. But I've really wanted to see it. It was cool to see though how people use like lighting effects and different things like that on Reach and 4 and all that stuff to actually make nighttime maps, like with different what was it, was it Juicy and I can't remember, there was a couple maps out there.
Old Timey I think has been used before. Purple, I know purple was used in like
yeah
Reach.
Purple was a big one. Yeah.
Yeah, they combine two of them to get the night. You know, the only problem I've had with that is sometimes it's too dark in areas.
And it's not exactly nighttime either. It's more like dusk or dawn.
Yeah.
I like nighttime maps. I think it adds a whole new challenge.
Yeah.
Well, that we don't really get in most Halo games. I don't know. I kind of like the dark corners where it might be hard to see. Yeah, but that kind of relies on your teamwork, communication, and being able to be aware of those areas of the map. I guess that's why I don't have a problem with it.
Well, we did.
I like what they did with Eden.
Yeah, I was just going to point that out.
You know, that is a nighttime map.
But you it's well lit, yeah.
I mean, yes, it's lit, but it still has dark places. You know, the what I was commenting on is, I mean, there would be whole sections of the map that were just, you know, almost to the point where you couldn't navigate on certain maps. Not all of them, but, you know, some people did better than others on getting the play space in the area that was relatively evenly lit.
Right. So PTB actually brings up a very good point. Waterfront and Reach was at night. Caveat to that is that it was Firefight, was a multiplayer, but if you think of a map like that map. It's where you go rescue the Marines that stole the weapons.
I'm looking it up real quick.
Really? That doesn't help you?
It was Nightfall. It was Nightfall. It was the Nightfall campaign.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
It's a short one. It's the shortest mission.
It was
mission.
The level you could do in 4 minutes.
Right.
I see it.
Yeah, that one.
Okay. Yes.
A map like that, though, how it's...
I wasn't a big Firefight guy. I apologize.
Architected, and the lighting on that, I mean, I think that's a pretty strong point for it right there.
Yeah, for sure.
Of course, again, you would not be doing this in matchmaking, but for customs, I think it would be really cool.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, Eden, I think that's the reason why I liked Eden a little bit more, too, is because we did, like, it had that thunderstorm with the night, so it gave that one lightning strike or whatever, it had that effect that kind of lit things up. That was really unique, and I think that's the reason why that one stood out a little to me a little bit more than others. Granted, Empire was they had pretty neat looking setup. Like the whole maps had really cool setups, but I think the Nightfall or the it being night stood out to me a little bit more. And I think that goes for a couple other people that I know that said the same thing. Is that the fact that it was night shined a little bit more than the fact it was just a daytime map.
Yeah, I enjoyed playing the night map. It was a lot of fun. And, you know, in an implementation like that, I can see where that kind of map could come into matchmaking. There probably won't be a large amount of them, but I could still see that type of map making it into matchmaking. For Machinima and Customs, it's going to be a blast. Can't wait to see what they do for Boogeyman in that one.
Oh, that would be interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it kind of goes back. I mean, like, we had somewhat of a nighttime map, like, when we were in space, but it wasn't really nighttime.
It was just dark.
Yeah, it was just dark. But, I don't know, it's going to be interesting to see what other maps that we're going to be getting when the final launch hits.
Yeah. I'm hoping that we'll get to see some stuff come out before the game is there. And I'm guessing we're going to see some kind of videos explaining a little more of the features of Forge that they've introduced. I have a feeling they'll be a little bit closer to launch, so maybe two months out to release kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they may even show something at PAX, maybe? Maybe? I don't know. What is that, September or August? Mid-September.
It's the last weekend in August. It's actually not Labor Day weekend this year, which is weird.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
all the conventions are screwed up this year.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's really...
Well, the only one isn't that I know of so far is E3 and San Diego Comic-Con. But yeah. Everything's shifting this year. It's going to make my travels very interesting. Video Games 101 actually makes a pretty interesting point when it comes to nighttime maps, and he says that on Reach, they didn't have light-generating shadows, which...
True. Yeah, you didn't have the shadow...
He said with that, you might get parts where it almost becomes pitch black. But I think you can, like in game programming, you can set a certain ambient lighting so it has lighting on everything regardless of position and shadow effects. So I think it would be a balance of ambient lighting and then point lighting. And as I think you can mix that in a way where in the dark you could still see people. And if you wanted to have those shadow casts, it would actually work pretty cool for Machinima. And I know there was the dynamic shadows for the structures. Was there dynamic shadows for everything else? I'm guessing there was.
I'm sure there was some sort of thing. I just don't remember. Like, I don't remember. Well,
in the Halo 2 Anniversary Forge, you can use shadows to generate night.
Yeah, I mean, well, they had the same thing in Halo 4.
So
you can just completely encase somebody with a box or something.
It's you don't even really have to do that. You know, you could take, a landmass large, whatever they call it, and you can just put it in between your play area and the sun or wherever the point of light is, and it would generate a shadow on the ground. If you stepped, you could literally walk to the end of the shadow and then you'd be back in light. It's, a much more convincing night look than, building a box. Because if you build a box, it'll still generate the lighting inside the box in Halo 4.
Mm, I gotcha.
Right. And that's because whenever it will cast shadows, but there's still an ambient lighting effect on some of the materials. I think in Halo 5, though, what we saw was a lot more of dynamic lighting.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And there's a lot more power on the Xbox One, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we're going on the tangent on the whole darkening thing, but the thing that's really interesting to me is the Forge can't. Yeah, no. I'm saying before we go too far, I wanted to take a look into the Forge Canvas itself. I mean, when we had that intro cinematic, that was pretty neat. How we were just flying over the mountains and trees and all that stuff, and then you just popped up in the map. I wonder what we're going to be able to do with, like, camera angles and stuff for, like, actually opening up. And, like, maybe that will have something to do with intro cinematics, if that makes any sense. Like,
yep.
Making your own.
Yeah, I agree. I think it will be really interesting to see what other tools that we have. We'll have to see if they keep some of the, like, the pre and post load screens, like the whole Hi-Fi Pro stuff.
Yeah.
Which I hope they take out. But I think there's definitely a lot of opportunity for that opening shot if they keep that in there. And you think if that map was made in Forge, and each Pegasus and Orion had a different opening sequence. So I'm willing to bet that those have forgeable properties where you can have like a start and end point for camera and rotation and then be able to highlight the power weapons and everything.
Yeah. I mean, that was something that a lot of people that I've talked with that do a lot of forging, they basically said, the camera angle when you first like look out over the map, that's pretty cool. But if they had the ability to where they could like zoom in at different spots of the map, like say, for instance, someone makes a Pac-Man map or something like that, and they have like a little Pac-Man or something like they made in like a little Forge canvas, they could sit there, wrap around that camera angle, and then just plop them in there. That'd be really interesting to see.
Be quite the trick.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure we'll see something. I mean, we have camera angles and stuff like that now. I'm sure whatever comes out with Halo 5 is going to be a lot better than what we have as of right now.
It better be. It's Halo frickin' 5. So does anyone else have anything Forge-related they wanted to bring up before we wrap this up?
I'd like to see more shapes in the way of different Forge pieces, especially for the breakout scene. More than just triangles and squares. I think it'd add a lot more diversity into the game type.
Yeah, and one of the things that I remember talking with Josh Holmes when we did the interview with him a while back was that everything in there is forgeable. Everything in Breakout, from all the little things that you saw in there, and even going to Crossfire, the house and the stage were made completely in Forge. So that's something that I think a lot of people are going to be really getting into. And with it being kind of the new focus on arena gameplay style, we'll probably see a lot of talented forgers go in there and try to do some pretty cool stuff with Forge in Breakout. That'd be really awesome.
Oh, yeah. I mean, absolutely. I mean, we've seen things before that we've seen Forge art. We've gotten those machines that literally just make, like, what are they called? the where you could take like a golf ball or whatever and make
the Rube Goldberg machines.
Yeah, those we have those. I mean, we've seen so many unique things in Forge before. It's like it really makes me wonder what we're gonna see out of just Breakout in itself. Like what kind of things people make within Breakout just to make it a totally different game type. It could be they could do a lot, and it's gonna be interesting to see what they can do.
I think one of the other things too is that, and this got mentioned in the chat, was the floor is completely forgeable. I'm not sure to what extent, because take for example the trench in Crossfire. I don't know if that's like just a flat level there, or if everything else is just a raised platform and everything else is kind of like blocks that they put in there. But it'd be interesting to see how much of the kind of base map is forgeable whenever we get the chance to forge it.
I think that was mainly just forge pieces on top of just the map on the main ground from the arena and the stuff built around it to give it that trench in the middle. I think that's basically what it is. But it's interesting to see where they will take, like what will come of that. But the thing that really makes me wonder how all those forge pieces has that grid like flooring on top of them. You know what
I
mean?
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Yeah. I think that's just kind of part of how they are in Forge. Like, cause take the grid, for example, and a lot of the Forge stuff that we've seen in like Halo, I guess we had the grid in Halo 3. We had the grid in Halo Reach, and I think maybe Halo 4. So if you take a look at all those things, I think it's just kind of a similar texture that they apply to the pieces in Forge.
Yeah.
And if you look at it too, like every surface is pretty much exactly the same. So even if you have just kind of a generic piece, it probably just flows with the rest of the map. Like it's almost like, so take a projected overlay and put it down, you have your grid. I wouldn't be surprised if it's something similar to that.
Yeah, I'm sure. I just think that whole grid thing is really cool. It has like a Tron feel to it in a way. Like yeah. It was really unique. Like when I was sitting there running around, I was just mesmerized by you had footsteps. Like when you sit there and had that interactive floor, when you sit there and walked on it, you could see it wasn't used as much as people thought it would when I had conversations with them, but you could see the enemy footsteps where they were going. I mean, granted, you were focused on other things, so you're not going to worry about where the footprints were. But it was really neat how they made that. Kind of like a training simulator in a way, which is – I like that feel of it.
Speaking of Tron, did you see that they announced the third Tron movie?
Yeah.
Yay.
So it's going to be the kid's kid this time or
– No way. They got to continue with – what's his name? Sam? I think it was Sam.
I don't remember.
Yeah, Sam and who what was
the girl?
The one person that they brought out? Yeah.
I don't remember.
It's Olivia Wilde's character.
It wasn't Clue. That was the clone dude.
Right. Anyways, it's a really cool environment nonetheless, and it's something that I think a lot of people are going to really enjoy playing around with. I wonder if we'll see. So I'm guessing with the whole Breakout thing, a lot of the style is going to be the same for Breakout. But thinking about other Forge canvases that we've seen in Reach, in Halo 3, and Halo 4, it'd be interesting to think about what other Forge canvases they could do. We've already seen kind of the Forerunner canvas. We've seen the
UNSC. The human?
Well, kind of. With Foundry, we kind of have, I guess.
I don't really count that. That was...
Sandbox is its own kind of unique thing.
Yeah.
But that's desert style.
We have space with Impact and whatever the blank canvas is on Halo 2 Anniversary.
But that was kind of more human. That was like humanized space.
I guess. So it's
the objects that you put in
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
But if you take a map like District or Trench from Halo 2, there hasn't really been a Forge canvas that really accommodates that feel of UNSC. And that would be cool. And it would also be cool to have a Covenant-like canvas. Now, I know that's a little difficult because of the weird shapes that a lot of the Covenant architecture is, but if there's a way for them to do it, I think it would be something that would be really cool.
Oh, absolutely.
Definitely. I mean, I would
love to see what gets created out of that.
Well, it's not just that. It's something that we haven't seen before, and it brings in new life in a way in the Forge. You know, like when we had we've had Forerunner stuff that people are just absolutely tired of from Reach, which I can kind of understand. The UNSC stuff from Halo 4 was all right. I mean, it was just plain. It was just bland. Like I didn't like anything about it. It's not that it wasn't creative. It was just bland. Like there was nothing thrilling about it. I mean, at least with Covenant, you'd have so much stuff going on. I mean, it'd be interesting to see like having, I don't know, moving parts in Forge too as well. Like you'll have, like say for instance, you'll have like a wall or something. You'll have maybe a light inside of it that'll kind of move or change color from like LEDs or something like that. It'd be interesting to see what they could do as far as like aesthetics go. It'd be really interesting to see too where they take Forerunner UNSC and if they did make Covenant stuff, like how they would combine that into one map too. Because there's a lot of creative minds out there that could make a lot of unique things.
Well, that is definitely one thing they would need to do is make all that available on all the Forge canvases. You know, the human palette, Forerunner palette, Covenant palette, Flood palette, if they had it, you know, stuff like that.
Ooh, a Flood palette.
Yeah, that's interesting. They would all have to be available on every canvas, you know, because you don't want to restrict the Forgers by limiting the pieces that they can use on, you know, on the canvases, you know, on the on disk maps. I can understand, you know, you don't want a tank on a, you know, on Warlord, but
yeah,
but you know, for the open canvas maps, they don't need to be putting any restrictions on what pieces can be used.
Oh yeah. I mean, I completely agree. Like there's going to be limits that we're going to see with just, like you said, on disk maps. Like just like, I mean, you can have, just for instance, Sword Base on Reach. You're not going to have a Warthog or a Mongoose or anything like that in there. Like it's not going to work, and B, it's not what that map was made for. So like restrictions on some things will be understandable. But as far as restricting people to do with like creativity, I can understand where you're coming from that. I mean, we've had some interesting attempts to try to make like maps into like little racetracks or something. They didn't exactly make it, but
Duquesne tries his hardest.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, but I'm just talking in general, like just small based maps with, I remember in Reach, it was a inside map.
You're not talking about Sword Base, are you?
No, like, no. It wasn't Sword Base. It was like a map. Like it was inside map, like Sword Base. I think it was the Ivory Tower remake.
Oh,
what did they call that?
Reflection.
No, yeah, Reflection.
Was it Reflection? Yeah, it was Reflection. Okay. And
of the water.
someone attempted to make some sort of like race sprint thing out of that. I'm like, yeah, no, that's not gonna work. Hardcore, that map is
four.
Yeah, like that map is not made for that at all. But I mean, it's definitely going to be interesting to see what they do. But I think one thing that you're going back to that I want to touch on real quick is the Flood palette. If they did something like that, can you imagine like Halo 3 Flood gunk or whatever you want to call that over like UNSC or like something that
have, like rectum doors?
Oh my.
And the blisters?
Not the butthole doors, no.
Yes.
I love those.
You need to have the butt doors.
Every time you go through one, you just kind of like chuckle on the inside. Like that.
Hey, Bio, what did Eli call them?
Oh,
I forget. During his speed runs. Oh, gosh. I forget.
I can't remember.
I wish I remembered. Oh, man. Dang it. Anyways.
Sphincter doors? No, it wasn't sphincter doors. I don't even remember.
No, yeah, it was. You were right. Sphincters.
Is that what it was?
I think so, yeah. Because I think he said, after doing this speedrun, I will never use that word again.
Oh. Oh, you're right. You're right. Yeah. Sorry. So we have that. But the thing that really, that it would be interesting to see, though, is not necessarily have a Flood palette, per se, but have, like, a Flood cover. Like, say, for instance, you make a map. and then you could sit there, like say for instance, it's a covered up map, and then have some sort of
kind of like the grassy plain and a hill.
Well, kind of like that, but you could sit there and cover a wall, and then you can add as much as you want or take less as much as you want. That way, you can kind of blend it within your map. You're not just necessarily making a map just to flood, because that's gonna be a little too much. Like maybe something like we've seen with just to give you an example, like cold storage on Halo 3, how they had the flood coming through that window and it's kind of taking over the teleporter room with the shotgun and all that stuff. Like maybe have something like that. Like that would be interesting to see.
So you're talking about like a dynamic overlay texture.
Yeah. Something like that. Like I know that's a lot to ask for, but it'd be interesting to see. It'd make some awesome flood game types, especially with dynamic lighting and different things like that. You could have like a haunted flood house or something. Like there's a lot of things you could do with that.
Yeah. I just, for doing that kind of thing, though, in Forge, unless you do it with the pieces, you're not going to easily be able to do that in a Forge system. I think, at least with the direction that they're taking Forge in right now. Now, I think if you had a computer Forge system to do it on, that gives you enough power and resources to really foster that kind of creativity. But if you're looking at doing something on a console, I don't... With having to kind of load up that map, that would make the map size just explode, I think.
Yeah, but you don't necessarily have to, I don't know. Like, everybody's talking about the power of Xbox One and all that stuff. Make it the power of Xbox One. And, like, throw in stuff that we haven't seen before and that is more, make it different. Make it more unique. Make it to where you could have a signature map from someone that has, like, say, for instance, I become probably one of the biggest Halo Flood person map designer out there. And my signature thing is to have the map covered in flood gunk or whatever it is. Like it'd make for different things that have a lot of people's interests. And like it would keep people wanting to see, oh, what can you do with this? You know, kind of like a, what is it? Yeah. Oh man, I can't think of the name for it now. A terrain editor in a sense. If that makes any sense. Kind of like that.
I know what you mean, but I think it's just tricky right now in Halo. I think it's possible in the future. I just don't know for something like Halo 5 if that's... Because that would be a significant jump in terms of what Forge can do, and I don't think we're quite there yet.
They could shock us. They could surprise us. Yeah,
they very well could.
You have two companies working out. You got 343 and you got Certain Affinity. I mean, within those two companies, they could be working magic that we couldn't even think of yet. Things that we haven't thought of that they're going to show us. You know, it's possible. It is possible. You know, people didn't think we'd get a Halo 2 anniversary with everything else. When we heard that rumor, all four games on one disc, all the maps with a Halo 5 beta, people looked at that. That's like, that's not going to happen. That's not possible. Within that time period, they did it. I mean, granted, the launch of it was a little rocky, but it is done. They've done it.
So Halo 5 has been in development since the end of Halo 4.
Some say a little. Yeah.
That doesn't surprise me that they had a beta ready, to be honest.
Well, no, I'm not necessarily saying that. I'm just saying from a standpoint, having four games on one disc. I mean, granted, it's like kind of copy-paste in a way. You're just updating to 1080p, 60 frames per second. But they did it, and it's like people weren't expecting it. People were not expecting that at all. Like when they said Halo 2 Anniversary, yeah, they get, you know, just new cutscenes and different things like that. But they could surprise us with something different. If they made some sort of terrain editor in some way in Forge, it would make the experience brand new.
I just want Forge maps to be playable, though.
Yeah, that's the one thing.
Like, there's too many frame rate issues, especially on, like, the arena-style maps. You just run into so many frame rate issues that they can't be used, and they look amazing, but they play
crappy.
Yeah. Frame rate issues, and then the file size issue itself, because if you think about that map game type, or the map file, every time you load that up, you have to send that to however many people are also in your lobby. So if you go doing a terrain edit, you're saving a crap ton more data than if you're just placing objects that is already built into the game. Whereas you're customizing positioning data, you're basically defining a whole new surface, and then you're having to ship that surface with all the other relevant data and add on to your thing the whole flood pattern or cover that you want to put on top of stuff. That makes that map file huge very quickly.
Yeah, it's true. I think as far as terrain, we're probably going to see something similar to what they did in Halo 2A, you know, where you can set down terrain pieces and, you know, you can tilt and spin and flip and, you know, to get the shape of the terrain you want, you know, within the limits of the pieces. An actual terrain editor as a standalone map editor, like, you know, you move the map to PC and do the edit and then put it back, I could see it, but not in an in-game, not in Forge.
Right.
I just don't see a map, you know, a terrain editor working that well in, you know, in the environment of
not
using
on console.
Using a controller to do it with. You know, it's one thing to do a keyboard and mouse and have the horsepower of a full-on desktop behind you or, you know, high-end laptop. But a console, I just don't think it's got enough oomph to do that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And, I mean, 343 still has the notion of they're still not focusing on PC. And as far as what we're going to have for Halo in the future, so you look at Halo CE, for example, Custom Edition, and you look at CMT SPV3, which we've talked about a lot on this show, and we'll probably have them on here in the near future because they just released their Silent Cartographer Evolved. But that thrives because you have the tools to make custom maps, and you have communities that can go out, download the maps, are patient to download the maps, and then you go join servers that host the maps. Same thing with Halo 2. And until Halo comes back to the PC, if it ever does, I don't think you can have that kind of forging capability in Halo. You just can't.
I mean, something that they could honestly do is, say, for instance, we do have those terrain pieces. All right, they're the basic terrain pieces that you can use, and you can use multiple of them. Not necessarily edit them in a way, but maybe you can take a part of them to where you can have one piece higher, but you can sit there and take the ground, pull it up a little bit, and then have it sit down in or something like of that sort. You know, maybe you're not going to sit there and have a huge terrain editor, but you can sit there and have some sort of terrain editor on those specific pieces. Not necessarily making it to where, oh, you know, erase this and then make this higher and then make this lower. It's something like that. Just simple, you know, raises and lowers on that particular piece. That way you can kind of fit things in a little bit better than just say, oh, well, here's your terrain. You got to use what you got to use, you know, Forge. You know what I mean? We could do something like that.
Now, you're talking about actually editing the individual pieces in thickness or something like that?
Well, not something of that sort. Like, I'm not.
Well, that's. Like, I mean, don't get me wrong, that'd be cool, but then you're still getting back into that, the file size issue, because now you have created a custom piece that has to be loaded in with the file.
Right.
You know, we're not going to see a terrain editor on this generation. As amazing as the hardware is in the Xbox One, it doesn't have the horsepower to do it.
Nope, not like my custom build.
You know, unlike, you know, a full-on tower where, you know, you've got the extra memory cores, you've got the extra RAM, you've got the high-end video cards. You know, even at that, granted, the hardware in an Xbox One is not the cheap stuff, but it's not the best stuff either. You know, they have to keep this in a price point that the consumer will buy. So, I mean, you know, they're not running a GTX 980 in it.
Yeah.
Or, you know, the new Titan that they just released. And until, you know, the hardware steps up several notches, I just don't see that happening. And even then, would be really questionable. Now, if the game, you know, if they had a map editor that you could put on your PC, do the editing on the map, and then copy it back to your Xbox One, or put it back on your file share and download it that way, you know, where it would be more similar to an on-disk map, then okay, I could see that, but I just don't see them releasing anything like that anytime soon.
Right. Yeah, I don't either.
My hopes are high for it, but it's one of those. I want to see it. I really do. I've talked about it. I've talked about it a lot. But I mean, I can understand it. I mean, I don't. For Halo 5, I don't think we're going to see something gigantic leap into this, but I think we're going to see some changes that we weren't expecting. I really do.
Oh, I definitely agree that they're going to improve on the Halo 2 A-Forge and expand on that. And the list of stuff that they put in on that was huge.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, I expect better things from what, you know, a better Forge in Halo 5 than what we got in Halo 2 A, and that one is awesome.
Right.
And I don't even forge, and I love the Forge. I just like to go in there and mess with it. You know, I don't really build anything, but it's fun to just mess around with, just to see what it's capable of.
Right.
So I do expect a vast improvement on the new Forge in Halo 5.
I think we'll see it. I think that pretty much wraps it up. So thank you, everyone, for listening to our Halo 5 beta breakdowns. This is the last show that we'll have for our breakdown discussion, so we will be moving on to some other stuff. I think next week we'll touch on some of the cannon fodder stuff, since we know a lot of people want to hear about the lore stuff, and we're going to try to get onto that, and I think we're going to do a New Blood show here soon as well. I need to finish reading it. Don't think anyone else here has quite finished it yet. But we're going to move down in that direction here pretty soon. We have some community guests lined up, too, that we're going to have on the show here in the near future. Also, make sure that you guys check us out on podtackler.com. And while you're there, head on over to our forums. We have some good discussions going up there, and we're trying to be a little more active over there to give you guys some place to talk and chat. And especially once we get into the lore stuff, it'll probably be a pretty nice place to go. You can also check us out on our social networks. We're on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, all that good stuff. If you just do podtackler.com/whatever, if we have it, you'll get there. And we'll be having an episode of Achieving Halo, a new one coming up here pretty soon. Right, GT?
Definitely. It's in production.
Cool. And that's going to be on the Truth and Reconciliation, the third mission of Halo CE. So that'll be fun and exciting. And we will have an announcement here pretty soon regarding a... I think we mentioned this actually a little while ago, didn't we, Haas?
Yeah, pre-holidays, I think.
Maybe. Right, so now that everyone is actually able to play the Master Chief Collection, or at least mostly everybody... We're nailing down the details on our tourney, our FFA tourney. We're going to have some stuff to give away for people, and it's all going to take place on the MCC. We're not sure if we're going to just do all Halo 2 Anniversary or if we're going to do a mix-up. I think our idea is to kind of do a mix-up, if I remember correctly. But we still got a few more details to iron out, and come either probably April or May, we're going to have our own little community FFA tournament where you can win some pretty cool prizes. We have some Mega Block stuff to give away. We have a few of the Halo Grunts that you really can't find anywhere anymore to give away. Some other swag items, some avatar codes and whatnot. So make sure you guys check that out here whenever we post on that, which should be hopefully within the next 2 or 3 weeks as we get the details ironed out. And finally, make sure you guys check out our podcast network, thepodcast.com, which is thepodcast.com, which has other gaming podcasts like Guardian Radio, Critzcast, Work in Progress, and How to Murder Time. So check those out. And I believe there's a new podcast joining the network here pretty soon. I don't know if it's on board just yet, but there is a new one joining the ranks of the podcast network, so we'll get those details for you and talk about it on our one of the next shows coming up here soon. So that is it for our Halo 5 beta breakdown. Thank you for everyone who tuned into every episode, who downloaded us and at least listened to our feedback about what we thought about the beta. We'd love to hear your thoughts, too, so make sure you just drop us a line. We'd love to hear from you. Submissions at podtackler.com, or you can call our listener voicemail, 240-200-HALO. That's 240-200-4256. With that, we will say goodnight keep on fragging Halo 5 Guardians.